Welcome to the 14th class of Proverbs. And I have been challenged because it is rainy and gloomy and cloudy to keep certain people awake. So, challenge accepted. No, I'm kidding. All right, Proverbs chapter 30. The topic, we're kind of going through textual and picking out topics. James is the normal teacher. I'm filling in for him for the evening while he's out of town. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 through verse 28. And we'll see if we can learn some lessons in these brief verses. Well, let's just read it first and go from there. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 through 28. Four things on the earth are small, but they're exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they provide their food in the summer. The rock badgers, conies in other translations, are a people not mighty, yet they make their homes in cliffs or rocks. The locusts have no king, yet all of them march in rank. The lizard you can take in your hands, yet is in king's palaces. Some translations say spiders. So, object lessons from Solomon, in the Proverbs, that we should be able to learn something from these tiny creatures. So, our challenge is to discover and think about what can we learn from these. And he gives us some ideas, some object lessons for us to think about. So even though they're small, he says, the Holy Spirit tells us that they're wise. All right? So from small things, you know, large, humongous things, large tends to make us think about strong strength, right? And might and power. But small things can teach us a lesson as well. So, the ants are a people not strong, yet they provide their food in the summer. So, what's the lesson? You tell me. Yeah. So, the ants, they prepare, when are they preparing? When are they doing this? It's got to be when there's something to gather and to harvest, right? Yeah, exactly, right? So, you know, a lot of us, you know, here in Limestone, you know, grew up, you know, probably in at least on some sort of space and houses and farms or things like that. You know, we grew up raising gardens or crops or whatever, and we learned. And what did I hate when I was growing up? Gardens. Because in the summertime, that was the last thing I wanted to be doing, right? So what is the ant teaching a young person who wants to be out playing or doing whatever? What is the ant teaching him? Not me at all, but what are we learning by that? So it's easy to say these kind of things, right? It's easy to see the lesson, the object lesson from the ants. Right? I mean, it's right there in front of us. But where's the difficulty? Sorry, say it again. Do they know how to swim or sink? Well,
to learn to work without being told to do so or
what does that 10-year-old youngster need to learn when he's 10 years old so that when he gets old? Responsibility, learn how to work. Yeah, exactly, right? Because he doesn't understand, naturally, you know, probably, right, that with responsibility, working when you can, when the opportunity's there, when the summertime's there, when the sunshine and the rain and the temperatures are all right, get the work done so that what? Winter, it's canned up, it's frozen, it's whatever, so that, you know, you can eat. All right? Those lessons, we need to learn. And you talked about Proverbs chapter 6, so let's go on over there, because he tells us some good information to add into this, as Jimmy's saying. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. So he says, go to the ant who? The 10-year-old me who wants to be doing something else. Go to the ant, sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, ruler, just like Jimmy was reading, she prepares her bread in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. All right? What's the negative lesson as he keeps the next few verses there? If you don't do this, if we don't learn the lesson, what comes and happens? Yeah. And like a robber, like an armed man, and he'll just snatch it. It'll just be snatched away from you. It won't be there. So what does 10-year-old Tim, who didn't want to work in the summertime, what does Tim get to eat during the wintertime? Right? So we learn these lessons. We need to learn these lessons and work when the opportunity's there. Are there any other examples of this through the scriptures that you can think of? That's right. Yeah, that's a good example. The building, you know, the wise man who builds his house on the rock, Doug's saying. What about Genesis chapter 41-ish? You don't have to turn over there necessarily. What about Joseph? Did God teach us a lesson through Joseph in this regard? Yeah. Right. Yeah. So and in that God providentially he showed Joseph what the dreams were all about, you know, from the fellows there. And with those dreams, the sheaves and the cows and the skinny and the fat and all that, taught Joseph what he needed to do, right? And it's exactly what the wise proverb is telling us, right? There was going to be 7 years of famine, of skinny, of nothing. But what was going to precede it? The plenty, right? So what's the lesson? To get it all done, to get it all gathered, to store it up. Joseph did that. And with God's providence, what happened with Joseph? All right? It wasn't just the food and that he prospered from that, but God put him up to a position that was in the plan of God to save his family, to save Israel. All right? What about in the New Testament? Can you think of an example there of preparation. Okay. Luke chapter 14, if you didn't hear. Okay. Okay. Right. So preparing, planning, so that, yeah, so before you start that task, absolutely. Okay. What about in Matthew chapter 25? I hadn't started this thing. All right. What about Matthew chapter 25? Yeah. Yeah, so the bridesmaids were, what's the lesson there, right? So they, five of them are foolish, five of them are wise. The foolish took their lamps, but took no oil. The wise, they took their lamps, but they also took what? The extra oil, right? They were ready, they were prepared. This is a very much a spiritual example and lesson for us. Because what happened to the foolish ones? What did they miss out on? Yeah, they missed out on the main event. Now, what's the spiritual lesson for us in that? Is it obscure? What have we got to do now while we're here and living on this earth so that we don't miss, if I can put it this way, the main event, right? Yeah. Does that 10-year-old boy need to be taught this lesson simply so that he learns responsibility and how to work? There's a lot more of a lesson here in preparing, right, that we learn from the ants. All right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we have to learn. We need to learn these lessons. That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Very good. And there's other passages that we can look at. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. If anyone's not willing to work, let him not eat. You know, the one who's not busy working has idle time, becomes busy. But there's other reasons to go about and be busy like the ants. So, James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. In fact, you might want to turn over to that one and help and think about how to reconcile these two passages, or these two thoughts. So, James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Probably spending too much time on ants, but so be it. What about James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17? What's kind of the idea right there? Is he telling us to prepare? All right. So, so So in our preparations, in our planning, in, you know, in the summertime, for the wintertime, for this life, what do we have to, what's the overriding thing that we keep in mind when we make plans and we prepare? Yeah, exactly. If the Lord wills. Because we don't know, right? Where we, if we were to have 100 summers of plenty, right? And we plan and we plan and we just, and the 101st one, and we assume what? It's going to be there? Well, maybe not, right? So in all of our planning and preparation and in this thought, let's remember James chapter 4, what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and poof, we're gone. I mean, we're gone that quick, right? And then what? Eternity. So let's make sure we prepare for the main event, you know, that real prize that God has promised. All right. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Right. Good point.
That example of Joseph, when the cows came out and skinny cows ate the fat cows, skinny cows didn't get you bigger. So a lot of times we think we do all this preparation, there's going to be all these grand and glorious things for us right now. It may not always be like things should be.
Yeah.
Because those cows didn't get you bigger, they were still skinny.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, good thoughts. Yes.
Hi. It's one of those God's wisdom versus human wisdom. Because if human wisdom, when we talk about ants, the first thing it's going to talk about is how strong they are. And the first thing God says is, they're not strong. So talk about how they prepared. Talk about how they thought ahead.
Yeah.
So the first thing, if you're going to learn about ants in the world, is they can carry this much time as they're
ready. Yeah, exactly. That's right. That's a good point. Yeah. You know, and that's a good thought and a good point, because what's the point that God's making? You know, we can think of a lot of interesting facts. You know, when I was studying ants briefly, you know, preparing for this class, I've become an entomologist. No. But, you know, the intricate, you know, what's kind of a, I don't know if it's a fad or not, but people pour molten aluminum and whatever stuff down in these things in a bed and then dig it all up, and it's amazing, though. But that's what's the point of Proverbs? It's about them preparing, right? There's a lot of interesting things. It's helpful to learn and to think about what God wants us to know about this, and I hope we've done that. All right, the next one. I'm not good at this. All right, the next one, the rock badgers. All right, so the rock badgers are conies. Different translations call them this. We'll assume that we know what these are with rock badgers, but they're not a mighty people, and they make their houses in the rocks. So what can we think about that the Holy Spirit is wanting us to know and learn about rock badgers, that they're not mighty, but they make their houses in rocks? Yeah, I had to think about this for a while too. Adapt to their situation, all right? So, as I was thinking about it, they're not from what I found out about them as I became a mammalogist, in my brief studies, they're not a defense. They don't have a whole lot of defense, these little guys, right? They don't have spitting venom at their whatever can eat them. They don't have, you know, huge, large teeth. They're not large at all themselves. They just don't have much to defend themselves. So what do they do? We can go hide in the rocks and, you know, stay away from most, you know, large animals anyway, right? So can we think about maybe their resourcefulness, their adaptability is what Mike's saying, their ability to use what they have, right? Well, let's look here. They're so lacking in many things in the pursuit of self-preservation, right? So what do? Okay, I was made to be prey. So food for whatever's up the food chain. That's it, I'm done. You know, wave the white flag, right? Well, no, they don't. They do what they can. They fortify with the abilities that they do have, right? Are they wise in this? Proverbs says they're exceedingly wise in this. They do what they can. Who can you think of that might fall in this category? Actually, I use them for a later example, but we'll use them here. All right, Paul, in what sense? How about that? Yeah. So Doug's talking about Paul and the circumstances he found himself in prison. Wave the white flag. Can't do anything in here. I'm behind bars, you know. Sit in the cold, damp cell. And, you know, what did he do? He was singing. He was praying. What's happened in jail cells in the time period? What happened? Right? What was he able to teach anybody? Right? Yeah, the Philippian jailer was taught right there. He's converted. So, can we learn a lesson from the rock badgers? All right? When do we find ourselves and we think of ourselves as not having the large teeth or the spitting venom or something, you know, that makes us stand out? What's the temptation to kind of think about ourselves and self-esteem and what I can do or what I can't do, and we start thinking about what I can't do and what tends to happen? We just spiral downwards, right? Yeah. It can. So the rock badgers, they do what they can. Yes, sir.
Well, the rock badgers, they take what seems like a hardship, and people already look at that, and they use it for an advantage. The early church would be the example. Acts chapter 8, persecution came.
Yeah.
They were scattered abroad, preaching the church group.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great example in the early church where they were being persecuted right and left. Hey, they were being hauled off. Hey, we've read about it in secular history, about the things that were happening to Christians. It's unthinkable to think about yourself in that situation. But what was happening? What were they doing in such a horrible, terrible, no good situation? They spread. And what were they doing as they spread, as they went out? They were teaching. And the gospel spread from what seemed to be a really, really bad situation. You think God uses these things and situations to teach us, to get us going? Maybe so. Do we need that today? Maybe. That's right. Yeah. All right. One of the things that I'd written down was a lesson from regarding this in Hebrews 11. It's about Abraham. What did Abraham do? He was called from Ur. What did he leave? His home, probably a house. And he went, not knowing where he was going. What was all the strikes against him? Don't know where I'm going. And what was he living in? Tents. He was an alien, a foreigner, right? Didn't know where he was going. But what was he focusing on in doing it? Even though these, you might say the odds weren't in his favor, but what was he thinking about? What was he focusing on? What was he looking for? Yeah, he was looking for that city built on a foundation. He was living in tents, but he was looking for that place, but a foundation that was built by God, right? We may have a ton of stuff happen in our lives, but what do we have to focus on? Even in the worst times of despair, maybe persecution, maybe we don't know what's, we're out by ourselves, we don't know what's happening. What do we gotta think about? Keep looking for that city that God's built on a foundation that He's made. All right, next one. Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's good. All right. Four things are small on the earth, but they're exceedingly wise. The third one is the locusts have no king, but they go out in bands. All right. How many of you ever seen a locust? Yeah, I don't think I have either. Yeah, the thing we've got is grasshoppers, right? They look pretty similar. All right, what's the lesson here for us? As I thought about this, they go, all right, so I did become an entomologist on this one a little bit. These things are really interesting. Not really. These things are really interesting. They're actually very solitary. Suzanne's laughing at me. These things are very, very solitary insects, 3 inches long, actually. They actually thought there was different species because a bunch of them would swarm together and a bunch of them were just by themselves. They thought they were two different things. Turns out they're the same thing, except when the conditions are just right and temperature and, you know, environment or whatever and everything just comes together and there's a bunch of them together, they actually go through a physiological change. The scientific term is they become gregarious, much like Suzanne. All right. In other words, they're very social. They're very not independent anymore. Not individualistic. They're not solitary. They become very social and in this band. What can one of these things do by themselves to damage the garden that I was working on at 10 years old, or not really working? what damage can they do? They can eat a leaf, you know. They can eat their weight, you know. But you put, in fact, in 1800 or something, they came through an area, the Red Sea, I read. They estimated there was 250 billion of these things. Now, what do those things do? What did God actually cause them something? His army. He's used these things on occasions. What do we know about locusts? What's the first time, right? Yeah, the plagues. So God used them, and whatever hadn't been demolished by the other, you know, seven plagues, the eighth one came and just ate everything and, you know, left it wiped out. Is there a lesson from locusts for us? But what? Unity? All right, yeah. That's what I thought of. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, kind of the gist of it is, two are better than one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. What are we... All right, so let me put the other next question. In which state can we serve God? Trick question. Did Noah have a whole bunch of people supporting and helping and everything? No. We can serve God in either way, right? Even when we're alone. But which state does God's plan resemble more? What did God do the very first thing after he created almost everything? It wasn't good for man to be alone, right? Yeah. Right? Yes, sir. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, and Doug's talking about what did the elders choose for our theme this year? I don't remember the exact phraseology, but it's unity, right? Strength and unity. We see that. We know that. Right? But where does that get hard? When we have a disagreement. Yeah. We don't agree on something. How can there be unity when you disagree? Can there be unity when you disagree? If it's Mary, then she's right. Yeah. We talked about this a little in our conversations class, the Crucial Conversations class. We tend to mix up a thing here. See if I can explain it adequately. There are things that are not changeable, and there are things that are bendable. What are the things that cannot change? Truth, right? God's words, what you're talking about, Doug. That cannot change. That does not change. We either, and if we don't agree on that, is there unity? There's not, right? But not all the time, but a lot of times, the things that we get crossways about in the church are what kind of things? Is it that, or is it other things? All right. Matters of opinion. On some things, we should not bend, right? On these other things, what do we have to be willing to do? Bend. Right? I was going to put it up there. I forgot to put it on there as the last thing. Get the chainsaw. That was going to be my last bullet point there. Get the chainsaw. So, congregation had a parking lot, and there was a tree in a unflattering or, problematic place. So the men of the church, they got together and they were like, hey, should we cut this thing down or not? And the deacon was very opposed to it. He was like, no, we need to leave this here. All right? Which one is it? This or this? Right. So, the decision didn't go his way, right? So the day of Saturday, he said, hey, come out here next Saturday. We're all going to, you know, get it down and we're going to clean it up. So this particular deacon shows up and he's got his chainsaw with him. And somebody asked him, said, I thought you didn't want to do this. I thought you weren't in favor of it. And he said, what? I didn't. But he had his chainsaw. Why did he have his chainsaw? Because he could bend. It was a matter of opinion, right? And whatever the whole, what does that show? That shows extreme unity, right? That's exactly what unity is. Even though I don't agree with this, I got my chainsaw. I'm ready to cut it up, right? Why is that hard for us to do? That's exactly it. Because when I'm right, I'm right. My opinion's the best opinion. I tell you, I taught that in there, and I say it now, and it's because that's difficult, right? On matters of opinion, on these things that's not truth, then what do I have to do? I have to be willing to bend. All right. Yes.
I think it goes beyond just unity because it says they have no king. So it's unity without leadership.
Actually, well, that makes it hard.
Yeah, we're called unity and we have leaders.
Yeah.
But it's unity without leadership, which means they all just
have to be. Yeah. Yeah. I had to think about that for a while. That's right. Okay. All right. All right. The last one. We got just a couple more minutes here. Four things on the earth are small. Small on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The lizard or spider, if you will. Different translations said it different ways. Lizard seemed to be. I can't tell you. I'm no Hebrew scholar, but so we'll go with this. Lizard, you may grasp with your hands, yet it is in kings' palaces. So what's the Holy Spirit telling us there? What's the proverb? What's the lesson there? Okay. Yeah. It was funny when we lived south of the border. That was one of the things it was really interesting. Well, we weren't in King's Palace or anything, but lizards, they were everywhere in the house. And they'd live up at the top of the ceiling of the wall. The kids got a kick out of it. How many things do we see as weak, frail, you catch it with your hand, right? You know, if it was a spider, you know, easily step on it like we all do, usually. But they actually have value, right? Is that maybe the lesson? There may be other things you can think of. What we see when we look at that lizard, right? What do we see? We see something very small. And catch it, right? But in reality, it may be very different. This thing, they're privy to viewing king's palaces, right? And so what we see may be very different than reality. This gets back to what my opinions are, right? When I see something in my opinion, what we see and think may be very different than reality. Why is that? Why might I see myself this way? That the way I see myself is not actually reality. Who can you think of who had an opinion about himself in the scriptures, who thought of himself, but what he thought of himself wasn't actually reality. Gideon, that was on my list. Yeah, Gideon. What did he not see about himself? He saw himself as the frail, hiding, when he was threshing out, hiding from the Midianites. But what was within him, he didn't see. God saw something in him. Gideon made him prove it, right? That God was going to be with him. Who else? Moses is on my list. Yeah, Moses. Who am I to do what you're asking? They're not going to listen to me. Please, I can't speak. Please get somebody else. Please. I mean, just not seeing what's there, the value in that. We probably do that to ourselves about as bad as anything else, and not seeing ourselves to what we really are. James encourages us to look in the mirror, doesn't he? All right, we got to quit. All right, thank y'all.